A couple of weeks ago, I went to the dinner with some of my co-workers. I was able to watch how some friends among my co-workers treated each other. One of them had a friend he trusted him, or he believed he could trust him. But in the end, he turned out to be a traitor. How about us? Are you trustworthy? Am I? Are we trustworthy at all? Can someone rely on us when it comes to confidential information that should not be passed on? When friends and co-workers reveal to us their innermost feelings and seek our advice, do we decide to keep quiet about them? Let's take about the opposite case. To how many of our friends can we entrust our deepest secrets? Can we be open to honest with them concerning our personal difficulties, problems, and disappointments? Can we be sure that they do not misuse our trust? Or do we fear that they react with shock or disgust, and that things we told them could be passed on to others? Even among our well-known friends or co-workers, it is sometimes hard to find somebody who we could really trust. Almost every day I hear gossip, and rumors, and I only work together with men of the same age. Loyalties we heard in reckless ways. How disgusting must such behavior be in the eyes of God the Almighty, whose being reflect nothing but deep confidence. These conditions have been predicted. The biblical prophecy warns us that these conditions would prevail at the end of this age. In Matthew 24, verse 10, in the New King James Version, Jesus said, "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." The Apostle Paul emphasized even more than multitude of bad and untrustworthy people. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 4, we read in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 4. 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of monies, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despairs of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Have we, you and I, been guilty of those misdeeds by violating the trust that was placed in us? Why is it that trust-based friendships are so rare in this world? One of the main reasons for this might be our often loose tongue, or our disregard of the good name of somebody else. Apparently, we do not care much about the damage we are inflicting on others when we gossip and smear their reputation. Have you ever been watching how often a conversation turns into gossip very quickly? Critical views are carelessly pronounced, and snide remarks and suspicions we are spoken without any control. All those things displease God to the highest degree and openly violate his word. James wrote in James 4, verse 11, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not an doer of the law, but a judge. Let us continue reading in Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that cheat innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. One of the most serious sins is to expose past mistakes that had been repented of, or to reveal weaknesses that an individual is seeking to overcome. There is probably nothing more humiliating for a person showing sincere repentance than we others who don't want his sins to be buried under the blood of Christ, or bringing up again his past and continue to talk about it. Therefore, Paul advised the Corinthian to forgive and to comfort a member who was expelled from the flock due to this immoral behavior, but who was received back after repenting of his sins. Please turn to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 8. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Unforgiving people are acting hard and cruel. Jesus Christ will undoubtedly judge them according to their own mercilessness. Mark 11, verse 26 tells us, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespass." In addition, Jesus warned in Matthew 7, verse 1 to 2, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." The Word of God clearly and distinctly admonishes us about the attitude we must have towards those who are struggling with sin. Proverbs 17, verse 9, "He who covers in transgressions seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends." That means we always have to think the best of others, and we have to give them benefit of the doubt, instead of blaring out of the failures of our fellow people of the world. True friends will do everything they can to help somebody who stumbled. Galatians 6 verse 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." True friends will never contribute to the shame and dishonor of their fellow man by spreading evil rumors about them. Do we tend to gossip and spread rumors? Do we misuse the trust of others requesting our help because we have succumbed to a bad habit? If so, we are according to his word traitors before God, and we could be in greater danger than the one we are accusing. Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Proverbs 16, verses 28, a perverse man sows strife, and the whisperer separates the best of friends. Slander is an equally bad act. It is obvious that such unqualified expressions neither contribute to peace nor do they build bridges of goodwill. Instead, they sow discord and create disagreement. God commands us not to speak evil, or better, slanderous and untrue words about anybody. Titus 3, verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. That means, in essence, that spreading gossip stories to the one who may be concerned is just as bad as telling others about it. Let us try to give our life a character of sincere, dependable friendship, and we will rise in the favor of God and also in the favor of man. Let us turn to Psalm 15, verse 1 to 5. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 5. A psalm of David. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a wild person is despised. But he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. 5. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Are we striving to become such a person? We all need to take a close look at our attitude. Are we guilty of the same thing that we are mistrusting others for? Is it possible that the suspicions we may oftentimes have towards others comes partly from our own guilt or from our tendency to spread rumors? Let us examine our conscience. Do we sometimes make others miserable in order to downplay our own shortcomings and to rise ourselves above them? Of course, we should not confuse unjust with intelligence. That is, we should not try to cover those who are guilty of illegal or criminal act. And even more importantly, we should never ignore, hide, or cover up the activities of a brother or a sister who sows discord among God's children and tries to divide the church. This also means to inform the ministry about things happening in the church which are totally wrong in God's eyes. Just like the brethren in Corinth informed Paul about the fornication between one brother and his mother or his mother-in-law, concealing something like this does not serve the sinner and makes those who know guilty as well. If a friend is weak and sins, we should in certain cases go to him with a humble heart and try to help him according to the Bible. It takes a lot of wisdom to know when such an attempt is appropriate and when it is not, because if we act wrongly and interfere, even though our help is not demanded, it can cause more harm than good. We are not to damage his reputation by publicly ridiculing him. True and loyal friends are priceless. The Bible honors brothers and friends who love at all times in Proverbs 17, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The Bible tells us about a loving friendship between David and Jonathan in 2 Samuel 1, verse 26. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. What can one say about us when it comes to how we treat our friends and protect them? Can one be convicted that we are diligently keeping secrets and faithfully defending the honors of others? Are we trustworthy friends? The best example of true friendships and faithfulness is God Himself. The Bible reveals that He sees all our mistakes and secret sins. Hebrews 4, verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. He knows us to the core, but God, who embodies pure love, reveals unmistakably that He does not often speak about our transgression if we repent. Ezekiel 18, verses 22. None of the transgressions which He has committed shall be remembered against Him. Because of the righteousness which He has done, He shall live. On the other hand, He speaks about it, if it benefits the concerned person or if it serves as an example to other people. We read about David, whose sins were recorded at a Bible altar. He repented. In His grace, He no longer remembers our sins. That means He does not hold them against us. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I remember no more. He banishes them from His presence. Psalm 103, 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. In violent contrast to this, Satan, our great adversary, in constantly venting on us and accusing us before God day and night. Revelation 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. He is a notorious liar and evil slanderer, whose main concern is to destroy our character. It is the duty of each of His to make sure that it is God whom we are emulating and that we allow him to build his faithful and sinless character in us. Ephesians 4, verse 23 to 32. We read Ephesians 4, verse 23 to 32. And be renewed in the spirit of our mind, of your mind, and that you put to the new man which was created according to God and true righteousness and holiness. 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. If we are not one to all it, we will find ourselves in Satan's service and cause much harm you one others. Let us treat our fellow man in the same way we are saving and approaching God. Let us make sure that we build friendships based on faithfulness and trust.